Good evening, everyone. Just before we do commence the meeting, just a reminder that as of this meeting, all council meetings will be recorded, and this will be the first one. So councillors are reminded to turn on and off their microphone, and if you are addressing council, it's the same. The key to it is the red light, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But we've got to have that red light on, otherwise you won't be picked up for the recording, which will be placed on the town's website. Okay? Okay, I declare the council meeting, ordinary council meeting of February 2025 open. And I, on behalf of the council, I acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this meeting is taking place, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Record of attendance, I will introduce councillors and staff. So with Councillor Mark Wilson, Councillor Cliff Collinson, Councillor Kerry Donovan, Deputy Mayor Tony Natale, yeah. Ms Janine May, myself, Jim O'Neill, Mayor of the Town of Ishmael, CEO, Mr Jonathan Throssell, Mr Fraser Henderson, our new Executive Manager, appointed a couple of weeks ago, so welcome, Fraser, and Peter Coase, Executive Manager, and Councillors Andrew White and Andrew McPhail. So welcome to you. We also we have apologies from Councillors Harrington and Maywood. That brings us to disclosures of interest. Are there any financial proximity or impartiality? There is nil. Public question time. Are there any public questions? We have received two as of yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Okay. I will read these answers out. The department's responses were received late yesterday.
Okay.
Oh, today was it? Thank you, Ms. May. Okay, so the first, these are the questions from Mr. Watt and Ms. Bettridge. Can we be given a longer period time of notice than 1 week for the start of works? We've been advised by two environmental consultants that is the best. We are not at home during this period. We often work from home. The Department of Planning is happy to provide a minimum of 2 weeks' notice to the commencement of any site works. The second question was a very specific query has to do with they frequently have plumbing issues, and the only way to access under our house is from the contaminated site. The only access is via lot 18. How will we be able to access during the time of the works if something goes wrong? So the department has replied that department staff will raise this issue with a remediation contractor once appointed and request that arrangements are put in place in consultation with Phil and Tracy to ensure this area can be accessed during remediation works if required. So that answers those two questions. This brings us to presentations. There are nil, but deputations. I'll just explain, we will do it as it appears there on the agenda. And if you, I'll call you up, 721 Mr. De Kluver, and you give your name and address, etc. Typically, you keep your comments to the report that the officer has made. And this is your one opportunity to address the issue you're down here for. You will not get another chance later on in the agenda when council decides that item. This is your one opportunity to speak, so make the most of it. But we'll go through all those. There are four, So 1, 2, 3, 4, and then when we get to the agenda, we will deal with them as they appear numerically in the agenda. Okay, are there any questions of anyone now? Okay. All right, deputations, normally two people for each one. We try and ask it to be limited, I think, 10 minutes. So if you can do that, that would be great. So, Mr. De Kluver, East Street, the number is 12, thank you. Oh, and Mr. De Kluver, at the end, I'll ask if there are any questions from councillors, and then you would resume your seat. Okay.
Yeah, I thank the council for this opportunity. I note question one from the people on East on Glyde Street brings other to mind other queries that if they've been advised by environmental consultants not to be there while the works are in progress, whether some consideration needs to be made as to whether other nearby residents too should be considered in such a manner and advised either to relocate for the duration or receive some sort of support to do so. My query is not about the remediation of the site. There is no argument with the need for that to happen. The two matters regarding process, number one in particular, using August weather data to determine a March commencement for this project. I would like to suggest that the weather in those 2 months is quite different and that needs to be considered. The other one is something I did bring up in a submission, which was to incorporate the site remediation with whatever is going to be built on that site in order that the process is done once and not twice, with site remediation and then building starting at another time. Our belief in general conversation with nearby residents is that those two things should actually form one project and reduce the inconvenience and risk to health and wellbeing to all the people surrounding that area. So those are my main considerations that I would like to bring to your attention and appreciate the opportunity to do so. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions of Mr. De Kluver? No, there being none, you may resume your seat. That brings us to Mr. and Mrs. Carey, 2 East Street.
Thanks, councillors, for the opportunity to speak about this matter. Our position is pretty simple. It just goes to the requirement of absolute mitigation of any possible contamination to ours and other residents during the process. That the reason I have this concern, I've worked in industry and dealt with asbestos over the last 40 years, and I'm aware of the standards for its removal and its potential for becoming airborne when it becomes non-friable. So if there's machinery digging, then the fibres become non-friable and given a great opportunity to become airborne. And we're no different than any other resident in the area. We have families, lots of young grandchildren. So the risk of spreading the contamination is in every residence interest, and we would be simply seeking an absolute guarantee that no contaminants are spread throughout the community. During the demolition of... So our boundary is on directly on the boundary of the site, and it runs east-west, and the properties are to the north. During the demolition process, we encountered a lot of dust in our property, and then it was a little bit... we then learnt that the site was contaminated, so we've already been through one exposure, you could argue, and really don't want to go through another one. And that's our simple point. We would respectfully ask that any risk be mitigated in absolute terms. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, here, if you turn off your mic, I'll just ask councillors if they have any. Are there any questions of Mr. Carey? No? You may resume your seat. Thank you. Mr. Cheney, number 3, East Street.
Thank you for having us the opportunity to speak. My name's Ken Cheney, 3 East Street, just across the road from where this development is likely to be remediated. Reiterate what Mark has said and what Greg and Leanne have said. The term absolute, I think, was the term that Greg used several times. I'm an engineer. I've been involved in safety and environmental and various projects, construction and the like, and share Greg's concerns about having dealt with asbestos in the past. Having kids and other things around, including lots of neighbours with young kids, the potential for asbestos being impacting those children and other residents around the area, in Greg's terms, needs absolute guarantee. And from a purely engineering technical perspective, I look at the report that's been presented and a risk matrix, and I live risk matrices every day of my life. To say that the risk is unlikely and minor is untenable to me as a professional, and the council needs to take a bit more responsibility as residents, because one fibre that impacts one person is just not on from the council's perspective and residents' perspective. Thank you.
Are there any questions, Mr. Cheney? Being none? Thank you. That brings us to Mr. Glamorgan, and your address, please.
To Manila Avenue, Whitecombe Valley. I can give you the spelling if you need. Thank you. Thank you, Council, for listening to my request that relates to 13.3, following your strategic priority of 5 about being proactive and approachable. I think you're right in wanting to have a public meeting about the question of nuclear submarines and whatever they carry on board in our vicinity. But my request is that you consider having 2 meetings, because there are so many risks involved. And the risks that are particular for Coburn and down at Rockingham tend to be a little bit different from the ones here. And also it would enable the authorities to have a chance to listen to community concerns in both areas. So what I propose to do is take you through why I think those risks are different and the extent of those risks, particularly because the report that you've responded to seems to be quite superficial in its concerns. and the reports that we've had that people in San Diego were told that there've never been any nuclear submarine accidents needs to be addressed. And so I'd just like to highlight those. So in December, we did have an opportunity that was organised by the community to meet with the Australian Submarine Agency, and a diplomat who'd retired that day came to speak to a very full crowd of people. And I think everyone in that packed room was ready to hear what they had to say. And there were basically two words to what they said: trust us. And that wasn't enough for the people there. I thought there would be 50-50 kind of sentiment in the room, but there wasn't. In fact, the sentiment grew angrier and angrier as we were told to trust these people. The diplomat explained that when he was a diplomat, he had negotiated with the Americans and tricked them, and we should trust him. So there was not a good sentiment. There was not good social license in the room. So you've had the South Metro visit to San Diego and East Coast, and you've come back not with very much information. I don't think that you spoke to the sorts of groups that we are suggesting you need to have in the room if you're going to develop social license. And I can take you through any number of different accidents that have occurred and affected people in San Diego and other places, and ask you, as councillors, do you think this is something that you are already equipped and ready to handle? Because at the moment, we are not being given the kinds of concerns that you're likely to have. 1963, the nuclear submarine Thresher, US, sank with all on board. And the nuclear reactor was salvageable, and the nuclear weapons. So I'm asking you, Councillor, how you feel to think that offshore there could be a sunk submarine with nuclear reactor and nuclear weapons that were being extracted. Or, like the sunk submarine USS Scorpion, 1968, all killed on board, where they still haven't been able to extract the nuclear weapon or the nuclear reactors, and we're just waiting for them to rust through. Or you might be interested in the head-on collision of nuclear submarines in 1965, when the Americans played chicken with the Soviets and they didn't blink. If we do have enemies like the Chinese, and the Chinese and the US decide to play chicken outside on Gages Road, how are you going to cope with what happened? And what are you going to do, as it happened with the USS nuclear submarine Guardfish in 1973, when it took 15 years to make public that a primary coolant had leaked in the nuclear reactors, spraying five crew with radioactive spray? They had to surface, they had to decontaminate the submarine. What happens if it happens here? But what happens if they don't tell you that it's happened? Because one of the issues that seems to be missing is that everyone's thinking about nuclear and reactors and the technology, but not the governance. And the governance is always seems to be missing when these accidents happen. I tried to find out what happened in San Diego when they boosted the base to become nuclear, and I found that a nuclear submarine, unidentified, worked by exhausted, overworked and tired submarine crew, leaked mercury into San Diego Bay. I'm wondering how you as councillors might cope with what that could mean for our beaches, and more importantly, how did we find out? And when they did the investigation, these are the problems they found. Falsification of naval records by the captain. A drunken submariner in charge of the nuclear reactor. So governance and occupational health and safety is threatened by staff shortages, which we're already told we have. How are these going to be addressed? Which is why I'm saying we need more than one meeting that lasts an hour and a half. There are a lot of different real concerns that have been lived out by people, by local communities that have had to deal with the submarines coming in into the base. In 2005, a collision with an underwater hill that the captain didn't notice. And there was a failure of the commander to do proper navigation and voyage planning. You probably don't think this is what the US Navy is like, but this is what the record is. In when they came to San Diego Naval Base in 1998, the community was very concerned about there being bombs left on the beaches. You would think that is impossible. And I wonder whether or not the councillors who visited and the COs who visited actually heard about these incidents. They had a 500% increase in hazardous waste storage request over an extended time, despite them already having had 80 previous storage breaches. There was insufficient potassium iodide because the US Navy said, oh, look, don't worry, you don't have to worry, we'll never have an accident, so we won't take your potassium iodide free because we'll never have a nuclear accident. And in 2006, the Yokosuka mayor visiting was saying, you've got to have accident drills. We need to have them in Yokosuka. The Americans won't do it there. And they showed them around San Diego, and he left saying, you have to have emergency safety drills. Now, what's at stake is two possibilities. You could either have a hydrogen explosion inside a nuclear reactor, in which case you'll have a lot of radiological mess, or you'll have a meltdown. Now, we've never had one of those. The risk is small, you might say, but the impact would be catastrophic. Because I have spoken to people from around the world who have been victims of nuclear fallout, of nuclear accidents. They've been downwinders, and they have been Hiroshima and Nagasaki victims of nuclear attack. And they don't just live with the very severe impacts on their life, like the Montebello veteran that I spoke to, who every month had to have his skin cancers removed from his chest. They don't just live with fear for themselves, but they know that when they have children, that their children may have had their DNA impacted as well. And there are cases there where we have to consider how are the radiological impacts of a nuclear accident, nuclear reactor, or even a nuclear war, how are they going to be managed? And what's your role as councillors? I think you need to hear what happened. Now, you'd think that the collisions with underwater sea mountains had stopped, but there was another one in 2021, and an accident at San Diego Base that I want to mention, which was not nuclear, didn't affect the submarines, but it was nearby. They had a ship caught fire, a USS Navy ship, and it started, they think, from a lithium battery that met a sanitizer. How long do you think the US Navy took at San Diego Naval Base to put out that fire on board ship? 5 days. And what did they find? What did they find? They found that the crew hadn't been trained. The commanders were not leading. There was no cooperation between the different groups. It went and burned for 5 days toxic chemicals into the atmosphere. Now, we could go on about all the sorts of issues that could happen. I'm not trying to persuade you that we shouldn't have AUKUS. That's not my job today. My job today is to say to you, you need to be told the truth. You need to be able to ask questions. You need to find out what's going on. You need not to be given the green tick of that everything's fine and that you've been consulted. You've got genuine questions because one day we could be sitting here and we might be dealing with a very serious problem. And I want you to be as fully prepared as you can be, and I want you to be treated with respect as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Glamorgan. Are there any questions? Ms. Glamorgan, you may resume your seat.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that takes us back to the agenda. Are there any applications for leave of absence? Councillor Donovan. Councillor Wilson. 17th of March. to the 24th of March?
Yes.
Okay. All right, someone willing to move those? Move Councillor White. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fail. I'll put that, all those in favour. It is carried unanimously. That brings us to confirmation of the minutes of the meeting, 10th of December 2024. May I have a mover, please? Move Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Natale. Is there any discussion? Being none, I'll put that, all those in favour. It's carried unanimously. That brings us to announcements by the presiding member. I have one, and that is to do with the opening on Saturday, 1st of February, the opening of the East Mallee Community Park was attended by many locals, council, staff and sporting club members. I would again like to thank all those involved in the consultation, planning, construction and finalisation of the East Mallee Community Park. Thank you to Premier Cook, Minister Templeman, Minister McGurk and the MLA for Bicton, Lisa O'Malley. Without the support, the facility could never have eventuated. The town's inside and outside staff and those responsible for the run of the day have done a fantastic job. In particular, I recognise the councillors and the East Mallee community for their commitment, tolerance, professionalism and optimism throughout this project. That brings us to unresolved business. There is nil. And brings us to the agenda, which is 13.1, which quite a few people have come down to take an interest in. Okay, do I have someone to move that recommendation? Move Councillor Collinson. Do I have a seconder? Councillor White. Councillor Collinson.
I do appreciate the the concerns that have been raised by nearby affected residents. And the concerns are very, very legitimate, and I have absolute sympathy for any issues regarding asbestos, although there were other contaminants there as well. I've personally had a friend who died of mesothelioma, and I was also the Occ Health and Safety Officer at Calista Primary School, where the school was closed for some months over asbestos issues. So I'm well aware of the concerns. I also did appreciate Mr. Cleaver's comment about it would be better if it was done in winter time rather than in summer. And I think there certainly is a case to delay it a little bit. But overall, I think we all agree that the site is contaminated. It does have to be cleaned up. Now, I've read the report and there is quite extensive stuff in there about the process of how they're going to remediate the site and how they're going to minimise all the hazard. And of course, included that is dampening it all down, which with asbestos, I think we're all aware that asbestos needs to be wet if you're doing any removals of that. And I'm quite confident that they will be doing that. And so overall, having read through the report and the mitigation procedures that they've got there, I think it will be handled well. And so overall, I feel reasonably confident that we will get rid of the contaminants in reasonable time and without posing risks to the nearby residents.
Thank you, Councillor Collinson. Councillor White.
Thank you, Mayor. Broadly, my views are consistent with Councillor Collinson's in respect to very important that this site is cleaned up. But I want to draw inquiry onto the substance of the deputations is the town, and it's probably a question to CEO and the officers, is are we satisfied with the rigidity of the mitigation measures in respect to the clean-up in particular? I think the greatest concern that was asbestos. Thank you.
Mr. Throssell to Mr. Henderson. Mr. Henderson.
Thank you for you, Mr. Mayor. The town's environmental health officers have reviewed this report, and they are the people within the town who have the expertise to assess this, and they are satisfied that the measures adopted and the conditions attached to this approval, if the council are of the mind to approve it, adequate to address the issues that could arise during the clean-up of the site.
Councillor Watt, any further questions?
Yes, Mayor. I guess my question is, and I think it is a pragmatic one, about the timing of the operation for a wetter month. Is that something that is discussed or is able to be flexed within the approval?
Mr. Henderson.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, if you refer to out the port, but particularly I think to page 16 of 302 on my page there, specifically refers to that that many of the submissions have mentioned the time of year and wind, but the advice from our environmental health officers is that that it's not necessary to defer it, and that the adequate watering down and other dust management measures. This includes a monitor, which an alarm on it to, if there's any dust, that will be actioned, and the whole lot of it, of these measures, is going to be supervised by an independent consultant as well. So the officer's view is it's not necessary to delay at this time.
And any further questions, Councillor?
No, none at this stage.
Are there any other questions? Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, thank you. I guess to put some of the residents' concerns into real actions, we sit here in the chambers and talk about the mitigation plans that will be developed in the future. I note that the CEO has responsibility to approve those prior to works commencing. I guess what assurance do we have that you know, the best eyes and ears that we're going to have on the ground is the local resident, effectively, that they're able to stop the job? And at that point in time, we're a long way removed from the works. And I note that this work will be subcontracted. And where is that point where we can stop the job? And what, I guess, instrument will council have to ensure that the work is stopped at that time and any rectification measures that need to be put in place are done so?
Mr. Henderson.
For you, Mr. Mayor, through the various site management plans that will be put forward, we'll be able to address making sure that they're reporting, and it is contemplated that our officers and comments in the report will be notified of any issues and have regular contact on the various reporting that's carried out. So we anticipate that we'll be across any issues when they arise, and it'll be reported to us, and we'll be able to do something about it.
Councillor Wilson.
Thank you. And just one follow-up question. I'm assuming, but maybe for the public in attendance, that the removal control plan and the dust management plan will be made available to the public for their review and any comment.
Not really sure. I'd have to take that on advice. I don't think we'd have contemplated whether that would be... I think it certainly can be made available. I think that's absolutely what will happen, and there will be consultation by the department through out of it. Whether they're going to consult with the public through the creation of that plan, I'm not sure. I'm sure there'll be opportunities for them to question that. So I'm not sure the extent of consultation that will be carried out through the creation of that plan. So I've got really an answer for that, but it will be made available at the end of it, and I expect through the engagement that will occur, there'll be opportunity for residents to raise their concerns directly with the department.
Any further questions? Councillor Tarley.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. This is another further question to the Exec Manager for Planning. I absolutely agree with what the residents' concerns are. As someone who's been personally impacted by asbestosis and the effects, do we have our officers are qualified to deal with this type of site and the plans and the works? Do we have the right skill set in house, or do we need to outsource to ensure that absolute everything is done in regards to the mitigation of all the risks associated with the site repair?
I believe our environmental health officers have the skills to do that, or if they did need to get additional information or input, they would identify that, and we would do that.
Any other further questions? There being none. Wishing to speak against? Anyone wishing to speak for? Look, I'll speak for. Just to draw upon Mr. De Kluver's, Mr. Carey, Mr. Cheney's, regarding the issue of asbestos, the council has undertaken on many occasions the removal of asbestos. One just recently was East Mount Oval, and there's a number of buildings within the town. We have endeavoured to get rid of most of the asbestos that we possibly can, and we will not take this matter lightly, but council will ensure, as best anyone can, that this will be done in accordance with the appropriate standards and regulations, and we always have. Okay. All right. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Collinson. Okay, there being nothing further to add, I'll put this recommendation. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. You are more than welcome to stay. You are more than welcome to go. Thank you. Mid-year budget review, 13.2. Someone willing to move that? So the mover. Move Councillor Tarley, second Councillor White. Councillor Tarley.
I guess to the point, there was a sea of red in the report, and it's because there is an absolute need to repair the budget, and at the mid-year stage in regard to the current situation that we're in. I think the report explains the intent in terms of what we're trying to achieve. I do though note that it does bring us into a deficit budget, which normally we need to be in a balanced form, which means that we probably need to seriously think about what the next year's budget is going to look like, because maintaining this type of budget into the future would be, I guess, unacceptable. Given what's created this problem, obviously that will need to take a priority, which we all know it is. So I think that's all. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tarley. Councillor White.
Similar sentiments, Mayor, but nothing further to add.
Anyone wishing to speak against? Wishing to speak for? Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, I'll just say a few words in regards to... Everyone can read the report in regards to where we now sit from a financial point of view, but it's also our job as councillors to reflect and adjust our perspective of where we now sit from a financial point of view. So we've got through a project cycle, which is in turn to deliver, and we're now in an operating phase. So we need to take that into consideration on not only this decision, but also other decisions that we have leading into the future, that where in the past we've been quick potentially to accept cost increases in other areas. Maybe in the future we're not as quick. Enough said.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Councillor Natale?
Nothing further. Thank you.
There being no further discussion, put that resolution. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. That brings us to 13.3, the annual electors meeting. And we've had Mr. Morgan speak to you this one. We have the resolution there. Okay, is anyone willing to move that recommendation? Move Councillor White. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Councillor White.
Thank you, Mayor. I think everyone is understands the caution in which, I guess, the commentary, certainly from the deputation tonight, and also the discussion that was that ensued as a part of the electors' meeting. And I think this is a very significant and very challenging issue for East Fremantle, given a town of its size and the range of priorities for the town, and also thought about what resources that we can meaningfully put to this. Having listened to previous presentations, I think the resolution in front of us is probably pragmatic, in the sense that I think the issues that are raised are worthy of discussion, not only in East Fremantle, but all councils. And I think the process that is in front of us is probably a pragmatic one. It certainly doesn't preclude that this issue isn't going to come back, because I do think it will come back. But I think if for the purposes of the priorities of East Fremantle, the resolution that is in front of us tonight is a pragmatic and a logical one, given the stage in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor White. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, echo Councillor White's sentiments on this issue. I think we need to be leaning heavily into the Southwest Alliance Group, and then where we can be advertising it throughout the community. And that really is our role in ensuring that that message is out there, that there is a forum for these questions to be raised and the answers to be responded to. But going alone on this or trying to do it ourselves doesn't give it the respect that is due. So it's a pragmatic approach, and we need to lean heavily into to the group around us and have them support us in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Anyone wishing to speak against? Councillor Collinson.
Yes, I've heard both the move and the second of this describing it as pragmatic. I would describe it as anything but pragmatic. It is basically just sweeping the whole issue under the carpet. And look, I'm strongly opposed to this recommendation. It's really thumbing the nose up at our electors' meeting, where there was a lot of concern about AUKUS, and they wanted a meeting. They wanted to be better informed to discuss it. Another problem I have with the officer's recommendation is the date. It's talking about the end of May 2025. That is after the state and federal elections take place. Now, this should be a major election issue. And our community, before they go to the ballot boxes, should be informed and should be able to go to the election with a lot more knowledge than what we've got at the moment. And we certainly haven't got much knowledge at the moment. Another thing in the officer's recommendation that I have an issue is they're talking about a briefing. Now, we all know what a briefing means. It's basically a one side of the argument presented by the Department of Defence. It's not a balanced debate. And I think that is what we need. We need balance, and there hasn't been any balance in this whatsoever. The original motion wanted a meeting with experts. Yes, we can have people from defence, but also people like the Medical Association for the Prevention of War, and there are other experts mentioned in there that have a lot of expertise. A lot of those doctors I know in the Medical Association have a lot of expertise, and they can inform us of the risks that are involved in this. When I think about our council, we are always expected to consult with our community. Even if we're doing something minor like changing parking regulations or whatever. But the federal government has done no consultation whatsoever. It was just delivered. Suddenly we were announced a fait accompli. We're going to spend $360 billion so far, that's the estimate. And we all know how these things blow out on this issue that the public has very little knowledge of. Now, what this does, just even aside from the safety issues, the budget, all those billions of dollars basically means our government is going to be in perpetuity going to be in deficits. That's a lot of money that could be spent on, well, schools, hospitals, you know, whatever. And I have been devastated that there has been so little debate and so little consultation from our government. And our current Defence Minister, Richard Marles, is just going gung-ho to make this happen. And my personal opinion is that Richard Marles is probably the worst Labor minister ever. And once again, he is also really thumbing his nose at the community. Mr. Glamorgan did raise a lot of the safety issues, of which we know there are many. And I mentioned at a previous meeting about the 9 submarines at the bottom of the sea. And only one of them has been raised so far. Now, those submarines, over time, will slowly rust away, and eventually there's going to be leakage. And they haven't been able to do anything about those submarines. What's that going to affect to our future fisheries when we get radioactive materials leaking into our oceans? Dangerous materials that could be that are dangerous for something like 300,000 years, which is quite a long time to have this radiation leaking out. Now, all these events that Mr. Glamorgan mentioned were in peacetime. We haven't even mentioned what could happen if war actually happened. And the reality is, council does have to deal with these issues. I have heard some people saying, oh, it's a federal government issue. It's not really a local government issue. But it does affect us. If there's a bomb dropped on Coburn Sound, we're going to have to deal with the radiation from here. And although the waste products, which we're told are low-level radiation, and that is very much up for debate already from what's going to happen. Okay, it probably won't go through the streets of East Fremantle, but when they try to deal with it, there can also be truck accidents. We saw what happened when a tiny little, 2-cent piece of nuclear material got dropped on the highway somewhere up in the north, and there was absolute panic stations. And yet we're talking about something far, far more serious than that. Now, it was also mentioned by the mover and seconder about our council resources. Now, I don't think it's that hard to create a meeting. I recall a few years ago we had a public meeting regarding the Row 8 issue. Now, I absolutely supported that public meeting as I was very opposed to Row 8. But Row 8 to me is a comparatively minor issue compared with this. So we thought we could do a public meeting over Row 8, but for some reason or other we don't seem to want to do it over this with far more serious implications. Now, there was also the comment about doing it ourselves. Well, we don't have to do it ourselves. There's no reason why we can't combine with other councillors. I think similar resolutions are coming up to Fremantle and Coburn. There's no reason why we can't combine with Fremantle or Coburn or both to have a public meeting where we are getting other experts in rather than just the one side that we've really been presented with so far. I don't think it's that hard, whatever your views on it, to have a public meeting. That's what our electors wanted, and quite a number of people raised those concerns at our meeting, and I think we should at least show some respect for those people that want more information and don't know where to go to get the information. And I think it's our duty as a council to do our very best to try and facilitate more discussion so that our community can be better informed.
Thank you, Councillor Collinson. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Yeah, I do.
Councillor Tarley.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I thank the Speaker in regards to the information. It was very informative. The point that stuck with me is that multiple meetings need to occur. There's way too much information to be dealt with in one sitting, and I don't think anyone in the room disagrees that we need to consult and get more information. What we see today in the recommendation is one attempt to do so. I think that we potentially could put an amendment to it to add a third point to have our own meeting here, I do note about resources. I'm a member of the Zone Welga meeting, and we've discussed August in the past, and it was clear to me, councils of Rockingham and particularly councils of Rockingham and Kwinana deemed themselves more important in August than Fremantle, Melville and East Fremantle. They will drive their own agenda in this angle. So while I see value in combining resources to those councils, those questions are going to be very different to our questions if we have, particularly in this stretch of waterway and the port. So I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to facilitate a Southwest meeting, and that meeting is going to be so focused on, let's say, San Diego issues, if I can pigeonhole that, because that's where the base is. Scudnon is where it's based.
Councillor Tarley, may I interrupt?
Yes.
Are you moving an amendment? Because if you are, you need to state that amendment and then speak to it.
Okay.
If you're not, then by all means, keep going.
I think I will be moving amendment, yes, Mayor. Okay, and my amendment is to consult with closer councils rather than which could be part of element two. Okay, so consult with Fremantle and Melville in respect to holding a public meeting. That's what I because I don't believe point two will cover that off at a regional level, or maybe amend point two to.
We need that amendment first. Have you got it in writing or?
No, I don't. Yeah, I can see it. Add a third point.
What you just said is the third point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, if I get a seconder, then we go from there.
consult with Fremantle and Melville in regard to holding a public meeting?
Yep. Yep, thank you.
Okay, that is the amendment moved by Councillor Natale. So do you want that on the screen? And Councillor Natale, that's your amendment?
Correct, thank you.
Yes, so move Councillor Natale. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Donovan. Councillor Natale.
Look, thank you, Mayor. Look, I've talked through this. I think the point that was made by today was that we need more information. We need more clear information that is more local, and I believe this amendment and at least enables us to do so. I don't talk about timing because these things do take time, and I think we may not have enough time to deal with this matter, but I think it has to be dealt with at an appropriate time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else wish to... Oh, Councillor Donovan, do you wish to... speak. Turn the mic on, if you can.
It was mentioned with your deputation at the very beginning that there are different issues for different areas, and I certainly do agree with Councillor Natale, and I have been at many of those meetings, and you can understandably so. Rockingham and Kwinana and the surrounding areas, and even Coburn to a certain extent, are very vocal, because they have a lot of concerned residents, and there's a whole range of things with accommodation, everything. I mean, everyone's going to be affected. And I think having areas that are closer to us and to have a public, at least we have done something else besides the one large meeting, and I support it.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone wishing to speak against? Councillor Collinson.
Yes, look, I am against the amendment. I know it does, to some extent, take into account my issues that I raised about collaborating with other councillors. I'm not quite sure why Coburn's not in there, but or other councillors in the region. But my main problem with that is there's no date, no end date, other than what was previously there, which is May, once again after the election, and it still leaves section two in there, which is talking about a briefing. And I do have a lot of issues about a briefing rather than an actual debate and information. So in that sense, I don't think the amendment really does anything to improve the officers' recommendations. So, yeah, for those reasons, I'm opposed.
Thank you, Councillor Collinson. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, I'll speak. I'm against this amendment. I think the Perth South West Metropolitan Alliance are one group. They have been one group. I think to start fracturing things now, we actually weaken whatever we can demand or ask for. I just don't think it holds up. And personally, to get a meeting with the people that have been requested, here we are the end of February, probably May is unrealistic in terms of a time frame. I don't know who's been dealing with the federal government, but it's not. We know things have been delayed even now. Okay. So we're dealing with the amendment. Anyone else wishing to speak on the amendment? Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, I'm somewhat like-minded to yourself, Mayor, in the negative sense that dot point two already largely deals with it in my mind, that, you know, we can discuss with any of the parties after, if we receive no response, and that could be with one, two or all councils that are part of the Southwest Metro Alliance. And to echo your sentiments, I don't think we have the horsepower to convene a meeting in this time frame with the suggested attendees. And the outcome of that meeting is better served with a collaboration with more councils. So, I'm against the amendment because I think it already is covered in the officer's recommendation that we should stay with the Southwest Metro Alliance. Our voice, in my view, is louder with that group, and it gives the public an opportunity to speak and ask any questions at that forum, which I'm sure we will advertise and encourage any residents to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Anyone else wishing to speak? There being no further discussion, we're only dealing with the amendment. Move Councillor Tarley, second Councillor Donovan. All those in favour of the amendment? All those against? It is lost 5-2, with Councillor Tarley Donovan voting for the amendment. Okay, so CEO's advised me, I'll just say who's voted for was Councillor Donovan and Natale, and against Councillors Collinson, Wilson, McPhail, White and the Mayor. That then brings us back to the recommendation. We've heard from Councillor Collinson and Councillor Natale. Is anyone else wishing to speak? Councillor Wilson, have you spoken for the recommendation?
I have.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? You haven't spoken against the substantive. No, you may speak. You're speaking against.
Look, I will speak against it. I think while the recommendation goes half a step towards what the annual general meeting was, it doesn't meet the intent of it. I believe I've been at the meetings where these other councils have fractured already on this issue. It already exists beyond the points. I was only at a meeting last week where I work, and there was a meeting dealing with businesses in August. It's already occurring, and because all those from Coburn down to Cronulla, they all have different fingers and different pies. I think more is needed for more regional, more areas in this area, because our needs are very different, and I don't think these two points meet that need, so I'll be voting against it. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone wishing to speak for? I'll speak for the recommendation. Firstly, this was raised 4 years ago, AUKUS, yet within this chamber, not one councillor, I don't mean this all, has ever raised the issue whether we should support AUKUS or not. And that would have been the thing to have done 4 years ago. 6 months ago, before I left to the US, I emailed all councillors. And yet I had councillors asking me, and one councillor said he did not know or notice the email I sent. There has been time. The thing that disappoints me is we all have concerns with AUKUS, but the federal government, the state government, are the ones that need to be tackled. We will be the ones left struggling with traffic, with parking, etc., if it goes ahead. But to be blamed or assumed that everyone within this room is for AUKUS or supports AUKUS is simply wrong. There's never been that raised in this council chamber. This does not just affect the Perth Southwest Metropolitan Alliance. It affects the whole state, it affects the country and the region in which we live. So for us to say it's only our problem or we should be doing this, no. This, if you know, if you listen, this has gained so much momentum now about... everyone has concerns about nuclear war, about nuclear catastrophe, everyone. And that's what really upsets me, that for some reason people think that doesn't play on my mind. I really have found this whole debate about finger pointing that you didn't do enough because you went to America. I went there for one reason, and I'm not looking at you for any intention, Councillor Don. I went there to find out as much as I could when I could. Yet no one had the common courtesy to even ask me what I thought. And I find that absolutely just without having the human decency to say, well, what do you think or what's this? Of course we're all worried. And to be flippant about it, that no one cares or the local government doesn't care, I find, you know, a lot of people within this room have tried to find out more than a lot of people who've been doing a lot of the talking. Row 8 was announced. I went out and handed hundreds of pamphlets out when I was mayor for Row 8. I went down and set up the chairs for Row 8 meeting. I did. I didn't wait for someone to do it. What we've become is a thing of, I know what you should do. I'll tell you what people should do. They need to do it themselves as well. That's what needs to be done. If you don't agree with it, you do it. You organise. You protest. Some of us may well be there. I think this is the best recommendation that could have come out of the annual electors meeting, given the complexity of this whole situation we now find ourselves in. And we do. Okay, anyone else we can speak for or against? And the mover, Councillor White.
Thank you, Mayor. I think... a lot of views have been well articulated tonight, and I've got nothing further to add. Thank you.
Councillor White, I will then put the recommendation 1 and 2. Move Councillor White, second Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? Against? So it's Councillor Natale, Donovan, Collinson against. The Mayor, Councillor Wilson, Councillor McPhail, Councillor White, for. Right. We haven't got video or visual, so thank you. Okay. Resolution cyclist safety. Mr. Morgan, etc. Yeah, thank you.
brings us to the cycling, or the issues raised by Ms. Wisniewski. Someone willing to move that recommendation? Move Councillor Wilson, I have a seconder. Councillor Natale. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, listen, it's a recommendation to extend. I would have hoped that it could have been done earlier, but if the officers need more time to duly consider it and provide recommendation, I'm happy to support it. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Natale.
I concur. Safety is very, very important. We need to make sure we do it right and it's not forgotten, though, so it gets done properly. Thank you.
Anyone wishing to speak against? Anyone wishing to speak for? Just to close debate.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. I'll put that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. Brings to 13.5. Okay, so someone willing to move that? Move Councillor Collinson, I have a seconder. The Mayor. Okay, Councillor Collinson.
I'm a member of the Art Committee, and this was raised at the Art Committee as quite an important event. And especially seeing the sculpture by the sea at Cottesloe isn't happening this year. It's it is quite a major event in our community. And I know we have supported this in the past. I know we do have budgetary constraints at the moment, and I'm very aware of that. I think overall $5,000 is a reasonably modest amount for what is quite a significant event that a lot of people in the community do appreciate, as well as people. I've taken people from overseas when they've been staying with me to these in the past, and they've always loved it. So. And we don't tend to support a lot of public events. So given that, and it's also we will be named as sponsors, so we will get some PR from that. So I think overall it's worth doing.
Thank you, Councillor Collinson. I too support the recommendation. I can understand some hesitation amongst councillors regarding the budget. But I think there are things like art and our contribution to art, which is required. It brings joy to people in a good way. And it makes us, I think, better people, better understanding. I think it's important for communities. And Scottish Bavis Beach events has always been extremely successful. Anyone wishing to speak against? Okay, Councillor McPhail and Councillor Natale to follow.
It's more a question, Mayor, if I may. The total budget for the event, do we know how much that is?
My apologies, I don't have that information to hand. I'll see if I can get it before the debate is out. I'll just text a friend.
Councillor Tarley, do you have a question?
Yeah, yeah.
And
my,
then Councillor.
My question, if, and I'm not sure if this is who this is directed to. I know the report talks about it's not coming from the art budget, it's coming from the donations budget. And can I have some, I guess, more elaboration why that's the case when I would have thought this would have been in that purview? That's all.
Mr. Cosey.
Through the chair, we did have a look at whether or not the funding could be provided for through the Arts and Sculpture Reserve, but unfortunately the reserve purpose is restricted towards the procurement and commissioning of public art in line with our public art strategy. So I guess the contribution towards this event is inconsistent with the approved reserve purpose.
As a follow-up question, did we do this last time, last year? Because we've done the donation before. How we funded it previously? Thank you.
Through the chair again, any previous donation would have just been provided for in the operating budget as a donation. Any transfer from the public art reserve has been used for funding public art installations.
CEO, do you wish to comment?
Just in terms of the last time we supported the event, I'm just going off the background, it was in 2022 for the amount of $1,650. And my recollection in speaking with Nadia O'Malley was that, in fact, it did come from a specific budget allocation rather than from the reserve. So that's how we did before as well.
Donovan.
Mine was a similar question, but with the donations, I understand that, that obviously I can't come out because it's not directly to do with art as per se, but was $13,000 in the donations, and then there's talk about putting an extra $5,000 into the donations to cover that. But are the donations, is the $13,000 donations, are they sort of got a tag to them, or is that just a number that's been put up? Because my question, what I'm getting at, is it necessary to put the $5,000 in and let's say put $2,500 or $3,000 in? I mean, I know we're only talking about a few dollars, but I was just wondering if with the donations, if you've already said, yes, these are the people we donate to when we'd like to do it again this financial year.
Mr. Cosey.
So through the chair, the $13,500 is already committed, so there aren't any available funds within that budget. The original budget for the donations account from memory was for $3,500, and that's sort of governed under the donations policy in terms of what's eligible for funding. Council did resolve, I believe, probably 3 or 4 months ago, to contribute $10,000 to the Navy League for the commemoration, and that resulted in an adjustment to that budget.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor White, then Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess my question is, just querying the amount of $5,000, was that a request, or was that something that was a part of a broader request that was given to council?
Through the chair, and Councillor Collinson may recall it when it was raised, I can't recall the initial figure, but I think it was actually then discussed by the panel. One of the panel members suggested that would be an appropriate amount rather than being specifically requested for that amount. They obviously, I can't recall, I thought it was less than that, but the panel thought that the $5,000 would be a more appropriate amount for the event because it does struggle for funding.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, thank you. It's a question, I'll phrase it as a question. I sit on the Community Grants Committee, and part of the Community Grants selection criteria, we have the tough job of trying to spread it as best we can. And one of the first criteria is that we occasionally have groups that are outside the council, and they're immediately struck off. And by no way am I suggesting that we strike this off, because I do think this is a good cause. I'm questioning the art panel in what decision making do we have, or is it somewhat arbitrary in what we do elect to donate to or what we don't? And where I go with that is, you know, if Melville or if Joondalup requested a donation, where do we draw the line? And it might be not something that you can answer, but it's something that we should consider, possibly not for this motion, but going into the future. Thank you.
Wish that question to be answered.
Yeah, now. If there is a criteria that was adhered to as part of this decision making, then okay. If there wasn't.
Through the chair, I'm just trying to bring up the minutes. It was raised, the fact that a request had been received from the organisers. It was then discussed by the panel, and based on that discussion, that's what the recommendation that came forward. I can't recall all of the particular debate, but it was referenced that it was a reasonably local event, and that I think Fremantle support it. It would be good for East Fremantle to support it also.
May I ask a question of Mr. Kosian, or the CEO, to Mr. Kosian? Why can it not be a budget amendment of $5,000 from the Public Art Reserve to the donations budget?
I can probably answer as well. It's not that it can't. It would mean, though, that council would need to resolve to change the purpose of the reserve, and there's a process we'd have to go through to change the purpose of the reserve to enable it to be used for a purpose for which it currently isn't specified.
All right, okay. Councillor McPhail.
I suppose I'm just trying to understand why how this came about, firstly, and that's what some of the questions around the table are about. But also, why is the donation we're making over 300% higher than what it was last time? Why not 2,500, for example? Why 5,000?
Through the chair, if I may, I can only really point to what I've said before, that it was raised by a member of the panel, one of the community members of the panel, that suggested that amount would be an appropriate amount for this. There wasn't a lot of other rationale behind about why that amount. It had been pointed out, as in here, what we had donated beforehand, so obviously it was higher than what we donated beforehand. I think, without speaking for them, and maybe Councillor Collinson perhaps can recall with more clarity, is that part of it was the sentiment that the Public Art Panel had effectively been in hiatus for the best part of 6 to 7 months, hadn't actually done anything, and the biggest issue was, at that time, they believed they could use the money from the reserve. And that subsequent to that meeting, we said, once we investigated the purpose of the reserve, we identified that it couldn't be used from that reserve. So to be fair to the panel, they were assuming that it wouldn't have an adverse impact on the budget because it would be coming from the art reserve. So it hasn't had a chance to go back to them because the timings involved in getting back to the organisers would preclude that to occur before it comes back to council again. So there's a couple of reasons for my recollection. I don't know if Councillor Collinson can recall any others, but that's as I recall it.
So why can't we reduce the reserve, result is reduce the reserve by 5,000 and increase the donations by 5,000 the other end? What stops us doing that?
Good question, Councillor McPhail.
So through the chair, I think we have answered those questions through, I guess, the CEO's comment and Councillor Natalia's earlier question. So the reserve purpose is currently restricted as defined in the budget document. So should Council wish to access those reserve funds by way of a budget variation, then we do need to go through a process of changing the purpose of that reserve, which involves an advertising process and a specific resolution of Council. I guess it won't help in this current debate, but I guess moving forward as part of the budget process next year, Council can choose to amend the purpose of the reserve to provide a little bit more flexibility in terms of how reserve funds can be expended. And I think based on discussion tonight, that may be a prudent consideration for next year. So I guess the options are either to fund the expenditure as a new line item in the budget, which would result in an increase in the forecast budget deficit position, or alternatively identify an existing budget, which is not the Public Arts Reserve, to fund the approved allocation.
I don't want to alter the purpose of the reserve. I just want to reduce the amount in the reserve by 5,000 and increase another one elsewhere. I don't want to change the purpose at all. I just want to change the amount in there.
So through the chair, in effect, that would be allocating funding which is currently sitting in that reserve, and funding can only be applied for the approved reserve purpose, because effectively you'd be looking at, increasing... you'd be looking at approving a transfer from that reserve, irrespective of how you determine to phrase it. Yeah.
Go back to the resolution. Move Councillor Connell, second Councillor, second to the Mayor. Anyone to speak against? I think that's where we're up to. No? Anyone wishing to speak for? Councillor Collinson.
Look, I think it's, though no one's speaking against, I think it's appropriate for me to make a few comments and to just give a little bit of history to all of this. And when I first came on Council, which was quite a while ago, Council had no art budget whatsoever. We didn't hold, virtually no pieces of public art were there. And it was at that time that Barry de Jong was a former councillor passionate about art and really moved that that we have an art budget in future and start doing things. And that did result, even though he wasn't a councillor anymore, that we started purchasing a few sculptures and the like. But the reality is, over the years, we haven't spent very much at all on art. And being a member of the panel, one of our panel members, who was a very good panel member, resigned from the committee recently out of utter frustration that we're not spending anything on art, and all her time on the panel, Council hadn't acquired any works of art. So, and also keeping to account that under our own policies, we're supposed to present and put 1% of any building development into art. And of course, East Romanawiva, which is $36 million, and 1% of that amounts to quite a bit, which we haven't done yet. And I know we can find ways of dodging that. But I think we should show a little bit of respect for the importance of art. And given how little we have spent on art over the last quite a number of years, I think this is a fairly modest amount and well below what the original intent was when we created the art panel in the first place.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Against? It is carried unanimously.
brings us to Wolga Sustainable